The International Mastermind Association is a group of like-minded individuals who have come together based on the mastermind concept espoused in Napoleon Hill's book, Think and Grow Rich. As masterminders, we commit to coming together as a group on a regular basis for a coordination of knowledge and effort in a spirit of harmony between two or more people for the attainment of a definite purpose. We come together to share knowledge with one another, support each other in setting and achieving our goals, and hold one another accountable to what we commit to do for ourselves. We set goals in 10 areas of our lives: spiritual, family, health, financial, business, civic, personal, educational, recreational, creativity. You must have goals and plans if you are going to succeed in any endeavor. After all, successful people have plans. Napoleon Hill said, quote, education, knowledge, and influence are more powerful than any exchange of money, end quote. For more information about International Mastermind Association, visit us on the web, internationalmasterminders.com, or once again, Facebook the group, International Mastermind Association.
And good morning. You're tuned in to the International Mastermind Blog Talk Show, and my name is Robin, and I'll be today's host. And with me, we have the phenomenal master builder, Ann McNeil, the founder of the Mastermind Association. Ann is a professional development expert who helps build better lives through her coaching and public speaking practice, constructively speaking. She is also the first female in the state of Florida to be issued a general contractor's license and is the founder and owner of MCO Construction. And we also have the phenomenal Angelique Cross. She's the proud owner of Lamar J. Brand, LLC, which is an upscale luxury B-line linked with various nonprofit organizations. And again, my name is Robin Donaldson. I am the proud owner of Renew Construction Services, a.k.a. the Queen of Clean. I'm a full-service construction cleaning firm. And again, thank you all for joining the International Mastermind Association. Today we're going to be talking about the 11 attributes of leadership. But before we go into that, I would like to give you briefly a recap of last week's show. It was a phenomenal show. Last week we discussed the QQS rating. And the QQS rating, it is the quality of service, meaning the performance of every detail. Also, the quantity of service, which is the quantity, the quantity of service, which means making a habit of rendering all the service of which you're capable of doing. And thirdly, which we is the most important, is the spirit of service, which is described as the harmonious conduct, the spirit of service, which emphasized again and again the necessity for harmonious conduct. So with that being said, I would like to, again, start off with our lovely Angelique Frost. Today we will be discussing the 11 attributes of leadership. And Angelique, if you would not mind talking to us about which one or if all of the attributes that resonated with you, which ones came naturally or which ones did you have a challenge with?
Okay, good morning, Robin. I love to always be engaged. I just love the Black excellence that we share on the call, and I hope that whoever is listening that we're able to shed some light on them as well. My first one and my one that's dear to my heart is the number one, the unwavering courage. Because before you get to the planning and before you get to the dreaming, you have to understand that no matter what the situation may look like, no matter if you're disqualifying yourself or no matter what circumstances may come before you, you have to have unwavering faith. You have to see what no one else can see before it shows up. And this helped me, Robin, because it helps me celebrate before things actually happen. That moves my spirit. It actually, it's one of the reasons why now I make a decision and then I change my mind very seldomly. The courage to keep going on, because a lot of times I don't think people realize that they're a part of some type of generational, I don't know if you want to use the word curse, or they've been passed down something that they don't quite know. It could be something as no one in your family is married. But I now know that poverty stricken is inherited just as blue eyes and green eyes and blue hair. So every once in a generation, there are women like us that are called out, that are set aside to take on that battle. And without the courage, because the people around you, you're going to get to a point in your success where the people around you, you will have to be in a space that's so positive and so influential onto yourself. So there isn't going to always be someone to look up to or someone to encourage you. You're going to have to encourage yourself. And that's why this one means so much to me, because you have to have the courage to keep going. You have to know once you run up into a wall that that is temporary defeat. Robin, I think we've said this before, that we've burnt all our boats. There is no retreat for us. This is what we're doing. And I told you in the morning, I say to myself, failure, you will surrender to me. I will not stop. I'm going to aggravate failure. Failure is not going to aggravate me. So those are some of the steps that I had to use or learn to get the courage to just keep going, to get the courage to say, if I don't feel like getting out of bed today or I don't feel like facing this issue today, I have to have the courage and see the long-term mission that I'm trying to accomplish. And that inspires me to keep going.
Awesome, Angelique. Awesome, awesome. But I have a question for you. So, unwavering courage. Besides that, what other attribute do you think that gave you some challenge?
Oh, man. well, first... we could write these
because,
on the wall.
You know what? Before you even get into that, let me do this one thing. To the listening audience, we are discussing the 11 major attributes of leadership, which are unwavering courage, which Angelique just spoke of. Number 2 is self-control. 3, a keen sense of justice. 4, definiteness of decision. We have number 5 is definiteness of plan. Also, the habit of doing more than paid for. Number 7, a pleasing personality. Number 8, sympathy and understanding. 9 is the mastery of detail. 11 is willingness to assume full responsibility. And last but not least, cooperation. So, Angelique, with those 11 attributes, what other attribute do you think that was a little challenging for you?
You know, coming from, like, a very large family, I'm the last of 9, and I was primarily raised by my grandmother. Robin, I think the most and the most difficult part about this journey was qualifying myself. You know, I could come up with 1,000 reasons of why I'm unqualified to do this, why I'm unqualified to take on this mission, why I feel as though, oh, maybe this was meant for someone else, maybe this wasn't meant for me, you know, but it came to a turning point in my life where I don't know if it was the new 30, I turned 30, something happened to us when we turned 30, it's like, it's either yes or no. There's very few I don't know. It's like yes
right.
or no, you know. So I went mm-hmm. through a state in my life where I was like how I was living when I was mm-hmm. going check to check, when I was living with in a relationship that I was not quite happy with, when I was living, you know, even being a single parent. There was a turning point in my life where either I could say I could accept this or I could have the courage to walk away knowing that there is something better for me. And, you know, the enemy, if you don't believe in a higher power or negativity, let's say, is consistently trying. They have, listen, the enemy or the people that work against you have board meetings to drive you crazy. They have board meetings. So, you know, when you come in contact with these people and you think that it's them, they don't know that they're being used. When you have those bad days and it just keeps getting badder and badder, don't think that this is coincidence. Don't think that this burden that is being placed on you is accidentally being placed on you. No. And then what happens, Robin, is I've seen it done time and time again. Once the pressure gets so hard, people cave and they fold, and then they will accept the counterfeit. They'll accept the imitation of what God really has for you because you can't do the pressure. You have to have the courage. There is something, that inner voice that's inside of us. Women, we call it our intuition. There is never a time that that has spoken to me and I've said, I wish I wouldn't have done it. There is times where I've gone back and said, I wish I would have listened to that inner voice. Because the universe will let you know. Sometimes you can just walk into a room and you, you can be in a room and someone can walk into there and you can immediately sense like, oh my God, something is off here. Like, are you okay? Despite them may say, that's the universe letting you know, hey, something's off here. So with the courage, when I say unwavering courage, it takes self-discipline, aligning yourself with yourself, not aligning yourself with the Joneses. It takes taking the Benz label, the Louis Vuitton off, and you have to see, who are you? You know, what is it that truly makes you happy? Because if you can't, you know, Robin, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to let you take back over. There are so many people with so many different labels that they are unable to identify themselves. They've had to live up to an expectation and live outside of their life for so long, and it's like it's hard for them to identify what it is that encourages them, so they have no drive. They lose the sense of direction, and then they condemn themselves and live in bondage and say, oh, I'm not qualified. You have to get the courage to pick up the pieces. All of the great that I know of have always faced the worst criticism all the way back to Noah. All of them have to be called fools and step out, but at the end, they held the glory. So that's why I want to say about the unwavering courage. You have to have that. It takes practice. It takes meditation. It takes prayer. It takes time. But you will, if you want it bad enough, you will conquer it.
Right.
So thank you, Robin.
Angelique, as always, it's a pleasure. It's a pleasure. And for those who do not know Angelique, her journey is one of unwavering courage, faith, desire, all rolled up into one. So thank you again for being our co-host. Let's take a commercial break. And after, we're gonna hear from the master builder herself, Miss Ann McNeil.
Listen up, I just had to share a quick message that just...
Of course, you're hearing from Ann McNeil right now playing a commercial.
I said we're going to a commercial, and when we come back, we're going to
I know, I know, Robin, but you know, I'm just so stuck on Malachi Monroe. I was playing his commercial, so...
Oh, my goodness, you know...
For more
information
about the International Mastermind Association, visit internationalmasterminders.com. Or on Facebook, visit the group International Mastermind Association. The name of the book is Think and Grow Rich, the original version restored and revised by Napoleon Hill. ISBN 1-593-30-2002. That ISBN number again, 1-593-30-2002.
Welcome back, everyone. Welcome back. This, again, is the International Mastermind Association call. And
We have Ms. Ann McNeil. She is the master builder as well as founder of the International Mastermind Association. Welcome to the call, Ms. Ann.
Yay.
Well, thank you. So, I have
like
a new name for those of you that I've not had the pleasure of meeting yet. I am also Malachi and Rajaneel's grandma. And I am also Ione and Danelle's mother. But my boyfriend, Daniel McNeil, is my husband. And I say that because when we're talking about organized planning, we often think of planning in every other area of our lives, but not necessarily the family. So my introduction to this chapter, Robin, and organized planning, I thank you for hosting this show today. And the same question that you asked for of Angelique, I want to just give a backstory. May I?
Please, please.
All right. So for all of our listeners, like she said, we're in the organized planning chapter of the book Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. And one of the main things that he says to be, in order to have organized plans, you must first start with a mastermind group. And I'd like to encourage all of us to consider our family as our mastermind group as we consider having organized plans in every area of our lives. Because oftentimes we tend to, no matter how challenging family members can be, no matter how challenging we can be in that family, it's very, very important that we consider starting there. So when we're talking about the 11 major factors of leadership, your question was, which one comes most easily to us? That was the question?
Most naturally, yes. And which one would be the most challenging for you?
Say, for me, the one that comes most easily would be number 6. And what the book says is that the habit of doing more than paid for, one of the penalties of leadership is the necessity of willingness upon the part of leaders to do more than required of their followers. And so that it really, really, the pleasing personality comes a second. But I would say for me, that habit of doing more than paid for, that would be my my number one major factor of leadership that tends to come most easily for me.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Thank you very much. Well, for me, I think the definition of plan, and I would like to read exactly what it states, its meaning. Definite of plans. The successful leader must plan his work and work his plan. A leader who moves by guesswork without practical definite plans is comparable to a ship without a rudder. Sooner or later, he will land on the rocks. The first time I read this book, again, I had to really identify where I was. Basically, I just had to really keep it real with myself when I went through the 11 attributes and just had to, where am I lacking? And that, the planning of my work, I did not do that. And I definitely couldn't work at anything because I did not have a desire. I didn't have a goal. I didn't have anything. I was just out there just, I was just out there. And getting back to the definition of plan, when I really, I could say probably like the fourth time that I read the book and I had was in this chapter, that's when I think it all just how you know, the bell went off or how everything came together. Because now as a result of, as a result of planning my work, and when I say planning, sometimes I have to break it down into my weekly plan, my daily plan, my hourly plan. Sometimes I have to break it down into 15-minute increments. But as a result, I can honestly say as a result, I'm no longer that ship without a rudder. My plan or my energy or anything I do now, it has purpose. It's a calculated step. So for me, this was a attribute that I did not have coming in. It's something that I had to learn over the course of some time. And now I can honestly say, starting out as that follower, that I'm becoming more of a competent leader. So, again, that would be the attribute that resonated with me. So, I noticed that we have a lot of callers. Do we have any callers or anyone on the phone who would like to ask a question or even comment on the 11 attributes of leadership or anything that any of our co-hosts had had mentioned?
Okay, Robin, we need to let them know they just can press 1 on their phone to participate. That would allow us to call you in. And so we do have a caller with the last 4 digits, 5449, has a question, a comment. So caller 5449, your line is open. Good morning.
Good morning, Miss Ann. Good morning, Robin, everyone. It's Luana Mayfield. How are all of you this morning?
Wonderful.
So for me, it's actually 2 in the major attributes of leadership. It is both number 3, a keen sense of justice. Without a sense of fairness and justice, no leader can command and retain the respect of his or her followers, as well as number 10, the willingness to assume full responsibility. Successful leaders must be willing to assume responsibility for the mistakes and shortcomings of their followers. If they try to shift this responsibility, they will not remain leaders. If followers make mistakes and become incompetent, it is the leader who has failed. And for me, what I recognize is too often, especially in today's society, we want to push blame. Whether that's in corporate America or even in small business, we don't want to accept the responsibility of if the project didn't go well, if an interaction with the customer was not a good interaction, we won't assume the responsibility that goes along with it. And if we look at that keen sense of justice and we go back to what Napoleon Hill said, as far as committing not to engage in any interaction that does not benefit all whom it affects, then we're setting ourselves up for a level of failure, and then we would look back, and it would go back to what was shared earlier as to that, why does it seem like all these things are happening? We have to recognize and take ownership to the parts that we play and what we put into the universe. Yes, there's going to be obstacles that come our way every now and then, but there's also a piece where we've contributed to that, and we put something in the universe by not thinking of service first and the justice that goes along with how we interact or taking responsibility. So I really am focusing on how to be that person that I would want to deal with.
Awesome, awesome. Thank you, thank you. Miss Luana. Okay, do we have any other one of our callers?
Well, before we have another one, I really would like to comment on what she said, because you asked us about what works, you know, what comes easily and what comes most difficult. And for me, the one she mentioned becomes more difficult for me. And this is one of the reasons why I love this chapter, because when you do self-introspection, if you will, and as a leader, one of the things that I listen also, in addition to reading Napoleon Hill's book, I also listen to him on YouTube and on the audio, and one of the things that he says is exactly what she says about leadership. And so I have to ask myself the question, especially for those of you that know me, I love to micromanage if things I think are not going the way I think they should go. And I hear his words come back to me that says that if it's not working with the person that you're working with, Ann McNeil, it's you. You're the problem. You're the challenge. And so oftentimes I have to step back, and I'm doing much, much, much better in a different area that I operate, from family to business to my social activities, and really starting to be quiet first and really look at what could I have done differently by taking responsibility for their actions. Because if I do exactly what Luana is saying by saying, okay, it's the other person, then I'm giving up control to that person's person's action versus if I take that responsibility, and this is one of my weaknesses, coming back to your initial question, Robin, from us, about what comes easily and what comes most difficult. So for me, and most of you that may know me know I'll take responsibility. Well, I'm starting to take more for even things that many things that happen in our organization. And when I do that, now I am empowering myself in that responsibility to then take a different action.
Mm-hmm.
And also understanding, like Maya Angelou said, that when people show you who they are, believe them. So thank you, LaWanna, mm-hmm. and thank you, Robin.
Thank you. And Robin, I'm so sorry. I had to piggyback off something in there.
Come on.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Like, I'm walking in circles, like, Lord. I just want to say that along this journey, as you read the book, you know, and it unfolds, I don't think that you could stay the same. It's not only preparing you for your job, but it's preparing you for the role in general. So here's the exercise that I like to do. I like to consider myself as though I'm just a spirit. Okay, let's take everything off. When I enter a room, I am just a spirit. That makes me so much mindful of what I'm carrying and introducing to someone else. Do you get what I'm saying? So it's like if I see myself just as a spirit and I enter a room, I'm mindful of the spirit I want you to encounter with me. So it keeps me on my toes. It makes me more mindful, you know. And another thing is that when Ms. Ann was speaking about how to handle situations and people, I think people don't understand that sometimes I know I'm very sensitive. I went through this stage in my life where everyone could hurt my feelings. I was so personable. I felt like people were around me just doing stuff intentionally just to aggravate me. But after reading the book, you know, and you can't change people, but you can change you. And for every action, there's a reaction. And what I don't think people understand is that that person or that opposition that is away from you, they'd be just doing it to someone else if you weren't there. It has nothing to do with you. That, you know what I'm saying? So it allowed me to take myself out of scenarios and look at all the general. So now my response is different. And now they're puzzled. They're floored. Where you used to be able to get a reaction out of me, now I'm smiling and giving you gestures and saying thank you and buying you gifts. You don't, you know, they don't know what part of you to attack because it's like I'm going to hold me accountable for this. And Robin, I promise you, since I've done that, now when I'm entering a situation, I go in with a heart to forgive because I'm not going to walk around with the weight that you're going to give me. I'm no longer accepting that in my life. Those days are over. We can agree to disagree, but I'm going in with the heart to forgive. I am free indeed. I can no longer allow your expectation of me or the label that you put on me. Just because you have labeled me does not mean that I have to live up to your expectations. You know what I'm saying? So I was, when Ms. Ann was speaking, I'm like, this book changes your outlook on life. It like makes you, you know, now I no longer get into arguments or engage, not saying I was very argumentative. Getting into an argument for the sake of being right is no longer me. It's like, I'm not going to get into an argument with you for the sake of being right. That isn't enough for me to allow you to move my spirit and get me off track because now I see you as a distraction. You know, I no longer get into an argument with people that's intolerant. It's like, okay, all right, well, if you want to be right, you're right, it's fine. But back in the day, Robin, that was something I challenged with because I've always been knowledgeable. And I'm like, no, you're saying this. And it's like, especially if that person isn't able to receive from you, oh, my gosh, you're like running in circles. So I wanted to share that. It makes you mindful. Because now, look, Robin, and I mean it's so hard from – dear from my heart, it's like now I choose my battles. My battles no longer choose me. I choose my battles now.
Right. You're the one
who have to share that.
You are the one who dictates where your energy will flow.
Exactly.
Yes. And, you know, it was me and Miss Ann, we were just talking prior to the call, she said that she, when she read the chapter of organized planning, it was as if she had never read the book. Ms. Ann, you've read the book how many times and for how many years? And again, this is some things that you read in the chapter you felt as if that you had never seen before.
Well, Robin, I've read the book since 1979, and as you know, we're in a number of different mastermind groups. And so it is really a weekly reading. It is a weekly reading. Mm-hmm. But just like the word, the words don't change. We change. And it's similar to what Angelique was just sharing about how we change in our interactions with people. But really, it is the spirit that is changing in us. Mm-hmm. And when we begin to become conscious of trying the spirit by the spirit, certain spirits mm-hmm. you no longer choose to cooperate or operate or even be in the presence of. And I was sharing with someone yesterday, they made a negative comment, and I said, cancel clear. And I then began to share with them, because they're close to me, I began to share with them to please be aware of snide remarks, and they didn't really understand what I was saying. And for the mere fact that they didn't understand, that they didn't understand, I understood that that did not make any sense. Whatever I was going to say to them, they're not going to understand. And so it becomes an awareness at different levels in life. And as we grow and our consciousness grow and our awareness grow and our spirit grows, we grow in that. And mm-hmm. that's why I said when I read this time as a part of this show and a part of what we do on a Friday morning at 7 o'clock, I began to see things I never saw before. I'm going to share another one, if you don't mind. Can I share it from the book?
Go right ahead.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. The beginning of this chapter talks about the fact that when you start, first let me go back for those people who may be listening for the first time. The book opens up in the first chapter talking about your desire. And he talks about how much money do you want, what you're going to do in return for the money, what kind of product or service you're going to sell. And then he goes on to talk about where is your plan of action for that, for getting that amount of money. But as he walks through the book, and then he talks about the faith that you need to have in order to achieve that amount of money, faith in yourself and also faith in the possibility. Then he begins to talk mm-hmm. about the specialized knowledge you need to develop for that craft, if you will, to get that money. But then he moves on to the of your imagination and coming up with ideas and thoughts and systems and processes by which to make the money. But when he got to the chapter on organized planning, the first thing he says on the first page is, I ally mm-hmm. yourself with a group of as many people as you may need to create and carry out your plans. Now, last week's show, Thomasina, attorney Thomasina Williams was on with us, and she said one of the things that struck her about this chapter is that the chapter is not entitled Planning. It's entitled Organized Planning. Mm-hmm. What I saw for the first time, as many times as I've read this book, is that then he talks about intelligent leaders and intelligent followers. And I had to question myself, in those areas of my business and my life and my family, am I really an intelligent follower? In those areas of my business and my life and my social encounters, am I really an intelligent leader? Do I have intelligent, organized plans? And so when I came to this part about the 11 factors of leadership, I usually take time and do self-reflection, analysis in terms of how am I doing? Am I doing any better or worse than I was the last time? And so that's this whole part about intelligent, and what does that mean to me? So that's what I meant when we were sharing before the show started about really, seeing things I never saw before. And again, we're in different places when we read, and that's very powerful for me.
Thank you, Ms. Ann. I know for me, again, like you piggybacking off of what you just said, that the words don't change. We change. And going through this particular chapter, with this read, I'm taking my time with it. I'm actually studying these things, because now I have, I'm being groomed to be in a leadership position. And to actually, the chapter, it has questions where you're taking a personal inventory. So right now for me, this chapter I know is vital for my success. And also having to, everything that Napoleon Hill, he states that needs to be done, he emphasized that they need to be done in that manner. If not, there's really no sense in doing it. So for me, where I'm at now in my life, this is the most important chapter that, that again, I know is going to take me to the next level and also be that fearless leader that I'm in pursuit of being. I wanted to ask one more question pertaining to the last attribute, which is cooperation. And it is described as the successful leader, you must understand and apply the principle of cooperative effort and be able to induce his followers to do the same. Leadership calls for power, and power calls for cooperation. For all those who are on this call, the question is, have you found it to be challenging in the beginning to get the cooperation of your followers, or how is it that you were able to induce them to cooperate with the plan, although it may not have been theirs?
I can start. And then I'd encourage our listeners to chime in also. One of the things I heard many, many, many years ago, I don't know where I heard it from, but it says that people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And whether we call ourselves a leader or not, we are all leaders in different ways and in different areas of our life and in our experiences. And for me, that is the level of cooperation I aspire to achieve with every encounter I make. And that is showing people I care first, prior, and really demonstrating the care, right? Prior to really asking for their cooperation. And I'm going to give a short example. LaWanna blessed us yesterday by inviting a young lady, I won't call her name, to our first call at 7 a.m. And when the lady came on the call, she shared, she said, well, Ann, I think we've met before somewhere. So I said, let's talk offline. And we did. And we had a very, very healthy conversation. And we realized we did, you know, have a meeting. I was on a panel in Miami, and she was in the audience, and we actually ended up being the only two black women in the room full of people, and it was a meeting about women in business in the area of real estate. Now, the example I want to share is because we had a really good connection that morning, I had also asked her to join us on our 8 o'clock call. In LaWanna, I want to thank you for your invitation of her to join us on the 7 o'clock call. So I asked her to join us on the 8 o'clock call. She did. A question came up on the 8 o'clock call, and this is the National Association of Black Women in Construction, our leadership call. And no, she's not a member yet, but she's planning on becoming a member. But nevertheless, she joined us on the call. A question came up where our president, President Kimberly Miller, was asking someone to review a document. Now, I knew from my conversation with her, she's an attorney. So now here we go to cooperation. Successful leaders must understand and apply the principles of cooperative effort and be able to induce their followers to do the same. Leadership calls for power, and power calls for cooperation. So in the spirit of cooperation as a leader, I asked, when Kimberly asked, can somebody volunteer? Nobody said a word. 15, 20 people on the call, nobody said a word. So I asked her if she would be willing. right, LaWanna? Now, I know you're on mute, so I'm going to take you off. But I asked her, I said, would you be willing to review this document for us? Now, I opened your line, LaWanna, and what did she say?
Yes, immediately. Exactly. I would be honored to.
Exactly. And so for me, going to your question, Robin, about cooperative effort and being a leader, I go back to the point I was making earlier. People really don't care how much we know as leaders. They only know how much we care about them as an individual and their individual goals. And oftentimes we get it confused as leaders. We're talking about attributes of leadership. So whether it's the willingness to assume responsibility, whether it's the mastery of detail, whether it's the sympathy and understanding, whether it's a pleasing personality, whether it's the habit of doing more than paid for, whether it's definiteness of purpose or definiteness of decision or a keen sense of justice or self-control or unwavering courage, people only care and are willing to be involved if you care to really understand what is it that they want, what is their desire. And if there's no connection and no desire, chances are there's no connection. And even as leaders, we cannot lead people who do not want to follow their own dreams and goals. You're not following the organization. You're not following any of us as leaders. But if you are not clear about your own dreams and your own goals, and you don't understand how do those goals connect with this pursuit and this organization and this leadership, then that is not a right fit for you. And we do have our president on the line. I'm not going to call you out, but the president of our investment club has also chimed in to join us this morning, so we want to thank her. But we started our investment club with 50 people. Why is it now that we're down to 18? I'd like to suggest that one reason is because it didn't fit. It didn't fit. So as leaders, we have to be very aware and very mindful, especially talking about mastermind groups. Like Maya Angelou said, when people show you who they are, believe them. And I'm going to wrap mine up with that, Robin. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Ann. Thank you, thank you. So, Angelique, Ms. LaWanna, would you guys like to take a stab at that? How do you induce the cooperation of others?
Sure. I'll go. This is Angelique. I would say when I go in now, because, man, it's so good to be a servant, because you have to know, you have to be a student in order to be the teacher. So when you go into these corporations and, man, Robin, Miss Ann, everybody that's on this call, I am on cloud nine. I don't know when I'm coming down. I go in, and I tell you, the more and more success I come into, the more and more I want to give, the more gratitude it is. But here's something that I wanted to point out, because I've experienced this along the way, because there are doors that are opening that were never there. And there are doors that have been shut that will never be open again. This is, and I think that this is what we call growth. Now, mind you, I'm getting into this, so a lot of the things I can sit back and notice now that I would not have. And what, since I've relocated to Atlanta, what I have seen here and there is that when people are leaders, they forget. Somehow along the way, I don't know if it's over selfishness or because they haven't read the book, Think and Grow Rich, that they have a superior attitude towards others. They feel as though sometimes they're superior to one another. When I'm thinking to myself, you know, unless you inherited this wealth, you had to go through, you're going to go through something. There's no one that's not going to go through nothing. So I wanted to tell a short story. It'll be short, Ms. Robin. I won't take over the show. And I just want to show how much Ms. Ann, you, and because I don't think that people really realize how important it is for us to get together. There are so many toxic conversations you can have with other people. there are conversations I had where my spirit is just drained. I'm like, I can't even be around these people anymore. I can no longer entertain their company because my mind process has changed. And I want to tell you a story about walking into a bank. When I came here, man, I felt like Miss Ann was watching me the whole time. I'm like, man, I don't need to be sitting around here worrying this. So I would get dressed, and I would go to bank to bank. I would go to entrepreneurship classes. And I remember I was going to set up a table, Miss Robin. The man that told me, like, you're going to be here tomorrow. You might as well just leave your table up. I'm like, well, if I can leave it up, that's fine. But I wanted to tell you about this one situation I ran into because I didn't know that there were black-owned banks here. I did not know that. So I go into this bank, and I'm telling the man, you know, this, that, and the other, and he had a sense of all he was doing was handing me pamphlets. He was not acknowledging me at any point. He never made eye contact with me. He never engaged with me or gave me the benefit of the doubt. So I left that bank because we know through the grace of God and the connection through NatWick, I got my first loan. But I'm like, God, you know what? I left the bank feeling discouraged. I went and sat in my car, and I'm like, that temporary failure was trying to kick in. I promise you, there was something in me, not anger, but my ambition that caused me to go back out and be like, you know what, can I speak to someone else? Can I please just speak to someone else? I'm not trying to be rude. So I go out. The actual bank owner happened to be there. Now, I'm not knowing I'm speaking to the bank owner, and I'm telling her, and he was like, yes, is there something I can help you with? I'm like, Ms. Robin, I swear, you should have seen the man look. I'm like, I'm going to be a millionaire. You know, and I came here for a better opportunity. And he was like, you should have just seen that. The look on his face said it all. And he invited me to his office, and he asked me, he said, do you own? I said, well, I've been here about 2 weeks, 3 weeks now, and this is how God works. He introduced me to a lady, Ms. Robin, and I'm thinking to myself, he was like, call her. I call her. We meet up, so there's three people there. And I'm thinking to myself, is this an ambush or what exactly? He never gave me her title. He was like, call her. So I meet up with her, Robin. When I meet with this lady, it is the underwriter, the realtor, and the closer of a mortgage company. And I'm sitting here like, and look, listen, let me tell you about disqualifying yourself. I'm like, well, my credit is only 700, so I don't know. I don't have any history. This and other. They gave me the letter. They ran the credit right there as I sat there within 10 minutes. Well, within 30 minutes, I'm like, you're qualified. Here's your pre-qualification letter. We need your W-2s, this, that. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, my God, Miss Ann, I'm finna run to you. Where are you right now? Like, so these are some of the things that I just wanted to share. The old Angelique would not have done that, Miss Robin. The old Angelique would have sat there, caved in, came up with all of these reasons of why am I dressed up, why am I doing this, but my ambition would not allow me to just give up. And sometimes what I've learned is when you hear a no, maybe you're just speaking to the wrong person. Maybe you can turn, and now the NatWick sign of it is when I hear a no, how can I turn this no into a yes? You know, so I wanted to share that story because Ms. Robin, I don't know when I'm coming down. Ms. Ann, I just love her so much that I'm so young and I get to experience this and grow and say, this really works. And another thing, Ms. Robin, is when I get around young girls here because I've been networking and different things, when I feel like I'm the smartest one, that's a problem. When I feel like it's okay for all of them to look up and, you know, adore my walk and my successes, but I refer them to NatWick. If I'm the best one in my group, oh, no, I need to call Miss Ann. We need to get around because I my worst fear in life is to become intolerant. I never want to stop learning. I never want to get that place. So I just wanted to share that story, Miss Robin, because, you know, I don't even have to drink coffee no more. I just get up and look at my little card and say I'm going to be a millionaire and I'm good. Oh, thank you so much.
That is your morning.
To go out to Angelique.
right. Like, how can you follow that? How can you follow that?
Right. But yes. It is a blessing and a gift. Hey, everybody, it's LaWanna again. But Angelique shared a good part of her story yesterday. And in 8 months, God has just been God in Angelique's life. And the joy and excitement, I cannot wait to meet all of you ladies in person. Miss Ann, thank you for coming, because it was on social media that Miss Ann and I met, and I reached out to her from Charlotte, North Carolina, and I happened to be in Fort Lauderdale at a conference, and I texted her, and how God worked. She happened to be just returned to town and was driving back to Miami, so she took a detour to come join us at the conference, and the immediate connection was just that. And since, and that's only been 2.5 months ago. So in these 2.5 months, along with getting the book, joining these calls, starting to take my classes, because I had an idea, but I wasn't really sure how to move forward, because here in Charlotte, locally, I serve in local political office, and I have a number of relationships. And what I think about in our major attributes, that question that was asked, is number 7 for me, that a pleasing personality. Because the reality is I have access to certain rules, but I'm also very direct and I'm very hard. And there's, you don't get to bring one over, especially when it comes to doing business with minority community, because we're always sub, we're never pawns. And there's always a challenge in what that looks like when you're looking at government making some companies millionaires while others are happy to just be thousandaires. And there's a difference in that. So when I look at the opportunities, and I had an interesting conversation yesterday when I was out to lunch, and someone who wasn't happy with how I govern, and we had a pleasant conversation as far as I was concerned, because I said, here's the great thing about America. You're allowed to have your own opinion. But I also want to recognize, because it was a white male that felt like he doesn't like the way that I do things as a black woman. And I was like, you know, it's interesting, because if I was Tim Wise, y'all would give me an award. Because to me, he's the epitome of white privilege. You make millions talking about the plight of black America, yet if an African-American addresses it, it's a problem. And it's a challenge, and I'm a racist, and I'm like, you realize I can't be that, right? I can be biased as heck, but there's a whole lot of institutional things that go along with racism that I don't have access to. I was like, but okay, we'll leave it there. And when I think about, had that been a conversation 4 months ago, it would have been a very different conversation. So I didn't even realize until this morning's call, when people were sharing how I have changed in my interaction. So just like Angelique said, okay, a different time, we would have had a very different conversation. But today, I'm like, okay, well, I appreciate you sharing your thoughts, and here's some of mine, and I hope you receive what I'm saying the way I'm trying to receive what you are saying. And that movement, without even thinking about it, not even realizing how these readings and these calls on the weekend are changing how I interact with people, it didn't hit me until listening to you amazing women talk this morning. And even when I invited the young lady to join us yesterday, we had just met the day before, but it was something in her spirit where I'm like, you've got to be on this call. And then to find out they already had a connection, it goes back to my first conversation with Ms. McNeil, where she said, wait a minute, you had put out in the universe that you were seeking me. But then while we were talking, she was like, wait a minute, we had put out in the universe that we were seeking you and didn't know it. So when you show up with that pleasing personality, when you show without even knowing, because that was before I was introduced to the book. She introduced me to the video first. So I was like, I'm just listening to all of you and just the blessing and the gift and having black women that truly support, encourage, uplift, and hold each other accountable. It's something that we hear about at a conference, but as soon as that conference is over, if you try to follow up, then you get a council appointment or you keep getting a runaround. That's not what this is, and so many people need to have access to that. So I'm working in Charlotte, North Carolina, to see, okay, how do we get a chapter here? How do we grow this? How do I help other people know that this is out here and that you don't have to do it alone?
that there are women out here who are successful women, who are millionaires, and like Angelique, on the way to becoming a millionaire, that's going to be there to support you. So I'm just thankful. But that pleasing personality, all the attributes are important. But I think for when it comes to having those conversations, it is very different because, first, the only thing we have control over is our reaction. That is it.
Right.
And when we change our reaction and we change how we interact in the universe, it doesn't matter what goes on with other people and what's going on in their life. God is going to step in and do what God needs to do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you so much, LaWanna. Oh, gosh. I'm like you, Angelique. I'm just walking around the room in circles. Like, I mean, where else can you get on the phone 8 o'clock in the morning and have an interchanging of all of these successful, beautiful women on the phone? Like, this is so empowering. It really, really is. And I do encourage everyone to join us every Saturday morning at 8 o'clock on the International Mastermind Association call. I had wanted to piggyback on Miss Ann. How much time do we have? Because you know we are well over our 30-minute marker. I don't want to run over time, but I'm just saying today.
Top 30 minutes three times. This reminds me of the show we did with Les Brown. We scheduled it for 30 minutes, and as it was approaching 2 hours, we said, okay, let's talk offline because we could talk till next week. And I think that that's really what we need to do. We need to come back next week and continue our walk through this chapter because just like we attempted to scratch the surface of the major factors of leadership, interestingly enough, what's going to follow next week are the 10 major causes of failure in leadership. So what we may want to do, Robin, is you know, ask people to join us on the call, which we're going to do after this on our regular 305-341-2788 number as we do our debrief for the call and ask everybody to just join us next week. But it's your call.
Awesome, awesome. I will do both. Again, we are, as Ms. Ann stated, we will be discussing the 10 major causes of failure in leadership. And I would love for each and every one of you who have joined the call today to join us next week. Again, we have 10. We have 5 people. We have Ms. LaWanna, Ann, Angelique, myself, and Thomasina. We can share our 2 and elaborate more on those. And as well as inviting others to the call, because if we're able to get the success, the enjoyment, the inspiration, all that we need, let's share that with someone else.
Yes.
I'm just so excited. But again, I had to, just understanding your journey and then understanding my journey is like right now we're reaping the harvest and things are happening at such a rapid speed. That is like almost unbelievable, like unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Like again, and you know what, Miss Ann, I think we need to have a Miss Ann power hour or something because a lot of aside from the reading and my desire, Miss Ann has been a very motivating force in my life, and you know, again, that's a whole nother show. But I will say this, when a student is ready to learn, the teacher will arrive in full force. And just, again, repeatedly reading this book, for me, it has opened my eyes. It has put me on, I mean, man, what do they say about the Bible? It's a two-edged sword. So it's either going to convince you or convict you. And, again, I just really ask that everybody join us On Friday, every morning at 7 a.m., we have the Think and Grow Rich Accountability Call. And then also every Saturday morning, 8 a.m., we do have the International Mastermind Association Call. And we will be discussing next week the 10 major causes of failure in leadership.
And, Robin, are we going to do any closing?
Oh,
sorry.
Yes, ma'am. You know that's coming up. yes. So before we do end the call,
Do any of you ladies have any closing comments before ending our show? And I'll start off.
I wanted to say for everyone that's listening on and off the call or who may go through the thread and God leads them to listen to this, to everything that you have attracted or everything that's in your life, you have attracted it into your life in a certain degree. Mm-hmm. And you have the power to cut it off. You have the power every morning. Joy comes in the morning. Every prayer that you pray is like a universal song. And the universe will give you whatever it is that your wish is its command. And it's like, get your joy back. And, you know, if you're one of those people that have joy or you're lacking joy, try to figure out when you got off that bus stop and how we get you back on. These group of women will keep you on your heels because you're going to be mindful of the spirit you walk around with. And always remember, joy comes in the morning. I don't care what the situation looked like, the circumstances, the pre-qualification, the title that the government or whoever has given you. When you step into the laws of nature, you're living in a different universe. That's why you can't get caught up on the how. You just have to know and believe and have faith that it's going to happen. And I just wish you the best. I so hope you get engaged with Nat Wick because it will change your life forever. Thank you, Robin. Thank you, ladies.
Thank you. All right, closing comments. Ms. LaWanna.
Again, it's hard to go after Angelique, so I'm going to say ditto. To her joy in all of this journey, and I look forward to continuing this journey for the next 25, 30 years and sharing all of my praise reports. You ladies are amazing. So if it comes a time, if membership drops off, as you said, Ms. Ann, recognize that there were some changes that need to be made, but also we got to recognize as a community, everybody's not ready. So the ones that are ready are going to see it, receive it, move forward in it, and not just talk about it.
Love it.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Master Builder.
Any closing comments?
First, I want to
set the record straight and say to God be the glory in all things concerning me and my life, because I am very clear from whence my strength and my source is. And I say that because that is the spirit that connects and binds us. And I appreciate all of the, you know, laudatory comments and remarks, and I receive that because I'm humbled in it, but I'm also humbled by it because all of us are the same. We just have to decide what it is we want. And God has blessed us with his word by telling us that he would give us the desires of our heart. But he didn't say he's going to give you the desire. Our job is to have that desire, and that's the first chapter of this book. So just want to share that and also remind everybody that on January the 5th, we are hosting our annual International Mastermind Accountability Annual Meeting for Your Life. It's going to be held in Boca Raton at the Embassy Suites on Yamato Road. And for those of you that are interested in giving your annual report for your entire life, we will be there on Friday. For those who just want to come and participate in the annual meeting activities, that will be on Saturday. Now, all of these details are on the Eventbrite, and I'm going to also post that Eventbrite right now to this page so that if you are interested in registering, the registration is only $79. And it is a steal because what we really want for people to do is to think about where else can you go to give an account of your entire life once a year and have a group of like-minded, like-spirited people to hold you accountable. So that's it for me, Robin, and thank you so much for hosting this day.
Thank you as well, Ms. Ann. Thank you as well. I would like to say in closing a wonderful call this morning, ladies. Thank you for joining us. But also, we have a choice, as Angelique mentioned before. We have a choice where we are to exert our energy. And because we have not a plan but an organized plan, I mean, for me, I can see all the distractions for what they are. And I really look forward to everyone joining the call again next week to discuss those failures of leadership. And before closing, in closing, I would like to say that no individual may have great power without availing himself to the mastermind. Till next week, be legendary. Talk to you soon.
For more information about the International Mastermind Association, visit internationalmasterminders.com or on Facebook, visit the group International Mastermind Association. The name of the book is Think and Grow Rich, the original version restored and revised by Napoleon Hill. ISBN 1-593-30-2002. That ISBN number again, 1-593-30-2002.